This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. 888-957-9570 is the number. Pound the phone lines right now. I'm going to hear from you, Niner fans. You had a day to digest everything that went down Sunday afternoon. Shasky's back. The overnight dancers are back. The truck drivers are back. The cops and firefighters are out there. Highway Patrol out there pulling people over left and right for speeding and driving crazy. Traffic is picking up. Where are you at, Niner fans? You just heard from Brian Baldinger. Stale is a word I'm seeing used around the Comcast business text line when it comes to describing the San Francisco 49ers of 2024. Can this season get repaired? Can they make a run at the playoffs? Do you still believe in this football team? I want to hear from you, Niner fans. 888-957-9570.
Do you believe?
Damn it, do you believe? And shout out to everybody on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. It would have been a day yesterday with the YouTube chat. For a low rate auto loan, apply online. Just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Dalton Johnson will come back at 9:20 and talk some Dubs. We'll get back into them in the 9 o'clock hour, plus 60 seconds of celebrity. But Shasky, what a devastating loss. Do you still believe in this team? Do you believe?
The season's not over, all right? The NFC, there's one juggernaut team in the Detroit Lions that has earned the benefit of the doubt. And like, are there other teams I fear? Absolutely. Like, that whole division is just awesome, right? And I fear them. Philly, I am not discrediting. Even Washington, as banged up as they are, and I know Jaden didn't have the greatest game on Thursday, like, I'm not discrediting them either. And I don't know what to make of the South, honestly. Like, all those teams fight hard. I don't know what to make of it. And then I look at the NFC West, and yeah, today we're in the bottom. But but that being said, like, the season's not over. They could still go on a run. Now, what have they shown me through 10 games? That they're wildly inconsistent and something I can't come to grips with. Oh, we move the ball. We get tons of yardage. Yet, in specific situations, you can't punch it in. In specific situations, you can't convert third and fourth downs. And so, like, I'm really trying to balance out, like, all right, they're number two in the league, at least heading into the game, in terms of yards per game, yards per play, like, all these different metrics. And yet, when they get into the red zone, or they get into a third and long, or a fourth and short, specific areas, they cannot execute. They can't. And then I'm not seeing the explosive plays.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going offense here, because I think their problems are on offense. You spend the money you spend, and you're gearing up to pay a quarterback, yeah, I'm going to look at the offense. And you know why? Because the coach cuts his teeth on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm saying to myself, the run game just does not, it's not generating the big runs that we're accustomed to. And here's the other thing. Yeah. I looked, a lot of their big chunk runs came in spots after a penalty where you're pushed back, defense kind of sags off you a little. I'm having a hard time with this team. George Kittle was dramatically missed.
Did you think that they miss him that much?
Yes.
Against Seattle? I did too. When the news came out Saturday night that George Kittle would not play.
Oh, I was devastated.
I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And we ran into each other right before the game. Trying to walk into the game. What did I say? I was like, I don't really feel good about this.
What did I tell you about the parking lot? I go, bro, it's flat.
It's flat.
It's flat.
I'm not really feeling it. I'm not really feeling it today.
And then, let's get to Brock Purdy, right? Brock did some good things. I also thought he passed some plays up and he ran, and the net result ended up being like, oh, he got a 6-yard run. Really nice. But I'm like, nah, dog, get the ball out of your hands here. And I think the area that consistently keeps popping its head that nobody wants to talk about is when the pocket gets pushed and he's forced to climb a little or stand tall in the pocket and deliver the ball. He has a really hard time either seeing open guys or being able to deliver. Now, does he have evidence that he can throw the ball down the field with a collapsed pocket? Of course he does. He's got a lot of plays like that. I'm talking about this year.
Yeah.
And then they haven't pushed the ball to the edges the way you need them to.
I want to see more Al Rock so bad.
Look, on the list of problems, Brock is, not at the top and he's not at the bottom. But he's in there somewhere. I don't know where. And I just... God, for the life of me, I just keep going back to the drive at the end. The third to last drive. That's a put-the-game-away drive. You are an offensive-driven coach. You're a quarterback that wants to get paid premium money. You're an offense with your bell cow running back there. You still have Debo. You still have a first-round pick in Pearsall who felt like he was on a milk carton. Juwan Jennings is cooking, and you stall out at the 43?
42-yard line.
But 42.
I hear you.
Really?
I mean,
that's a put-it-away drive right there.
Well, also, just the defense. We see Arizona go right down the field to win the game. Right down the field. No problem. One thing that I want to see tweaks, because, look, there was a lot of people yesterday on the fire Kyle Shanahan to get him out of here, and I'm like, calm down. He's not going anywhere, all right?
How about nor guys go play anywhere. Better?
That's what I've been saying all season. Can players execute?
Banks.
I point to every single game they've lost this season. Every single game they lost this season. Coaches can't tackle for you. Coaches can't catch passes for you.
Illegal formations.
Coaches can't throw for you. They can't line up correctly. They can't miss blocks for you.
Yep.
That's all players. They're paid millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. All the coach can do is call it up and put you in the right position to make a play. Now, you could argue that Shanahan's not putting his premium players in a position to make a play, but maybe these premium players are just not premium players anymore. That could be a thing.
Well,
it could be a thing that Debo may not be the same Debo we seen 3 years ago or 2 years ago or even last season. It may just be it for Debo Samuel in another Niner uniform. I was thinking on Sunday, watching him struggle getting off the line of scrimmage and struggle running routes. I'm thinking, damn, are we watching the last 7 games of Debo Samuel in a 49ers uniform?
Maybe.
Like, that reality hit me. Now, I don't want to dive into that right now, but it definitely crossed my mind thinking, is it going to end like this for Debo?
I hope not. I'm not going to count him out. I did that last year, and then he came back with a vengeance and had some big, big games, right? So I'm not ready to do that just yet, but your point isn't wrong. Like, every time he's running around the backfield pre-snap, doing all this motion, no one's moving anymore.
No.
Like, you're not fooling anybody on that stuff. And so, like, outside of Juwan Jennings, nobody wanted it.
Yeah, he's winning the Lynn Ashmont Award after the season, Juwan Jennings, because he's been playing. He wanted that game. He was the only one who really wanted it. By the way, shout out to the respiratory therapist, Mo and San Ramon. I got you guys. Therapy's good for everybody.
You know, they have a lot of woes in the front 7 on their defense. I personally believe one of the biggest mistakes, front office, in terms of assembling the team, coach, staff, I don't even know how you break this down. One of the biggest mistakes that this team made was thinking that Devondre Campbell could offset some of the production from Dre Greenlaw. I'm sure they knew you're taking a step back no matter who is going to play in the Dre Greenlaw spot. But the fact that D Winters has been basically non-existent for, 10 games? 10 games? And Devondre Campbell has played the amount of snaps. I bet you he's played 90% of the snaps on defense.
Of course.
And he has been not good. And I think that there are specific spots where the speed and the awareness and his inability to be able to set edges has just reared its ugly head time and time again. Simultaneously, their belief in Leonard Floyd and this defensive line outside of Bosa was misguided. They Javon Hargrave, obviously, you paid him a ton of money. That was a big whiff. Leonard Floyd has not been great, and they have been basically unable to find a speed rusher opposite the power rusher of Nick Bosa, and I believe that's one of the biggest mistakes of the last 4 years. I think they have a Super Bowl if they find a competent speed rusher opposite him, and it's tough. You got a lot of holes on a team. You can only waste draft capital on so many positions. They've done a good job in the secondary. Now it's the front seven that's killing them.
Well, Devondre Campbell, if Winters or Graham or whoever else was backing up that spot, they obviously haven't done enough to take the job.
But D. Winters made a play on fourth and one.
He made a play.
I'm like, I want to know more why he's not playing.
He only played 10 snaps. 10 snaps. Campbell played 60. But let's be real. It wasn't like Seattle was moving the ball up and down the field. They had 13 points late in the fourth quarter. You hold an offense at 13 points, I can't complain about the defense. And I can't pick out Campbell in this game saying, hey, it was Campbell this and Campbell that. We know he's not a good player. It's not great. Doesn't fit this scheme. There's no doubt about it. It's a reason why Green Bay gave up on him. But at the same time, you gave up 13 points. And say they went down for a game-winning drive in the last 3 minutes of the game. So what happened defensively on that final drive? Well, I think Nick Sorensen should have dialed up some creative pressures. And that's another thing that Baldy said. When they blitz, it's like they're just sending a rusher, just, hey, we're blitzing. Hey, block us. Here we go. Their blitzes are not creative enough. Like, you look at Minnesota's blitz package. You go look at the Houston Texans last night. You go look at some of these blitz packages, the Chargers blitz packages. All these other teams have creative, exotic blitz packages. That the Niners just, hey, Fred Warner, blitz. And he just goes on head up with the guard, and you get nothing going. You get nothing going. So then you lose Nick Bosa as well. And for most of the second half, and all of a sudden the defense gets carved up on the final possession. But defense is not the problem on Sunday. This is all on offense. This is on Purdy. This is on Shanahan. And this is on this offensive line and the wide receivers. The offense has to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what, defense? We let you down.
No, I would agree with you. Like, at top of the charts is the offense. But, I also don't think that the defense is good. I don't think they're okay.
I mean, they held Tampa Bay down to 20 points and held them out of the end zone at the end of the game. Yeah, defense is okay.
That was also okay. They have no receivers. Seattle came into this game. Just real quick. Seattle came into this game, and I didn't know this. They average 3rd and 9, which is the longest depth on third down any team has averaged this century. I couldn't believe that. They have not been an efficient offense. Now, like, in this game, yes, the defense played really well until they didn't at the end. And like, that has been a common denominator for this team in a lot of these late game situations, is they can't get stops when they need them. It's like a team that, hey, we're a great rebounding team, except at the end of games when we need a big rebound. And so, like, yes, the offense is poor. I also think that the defense, they're not good either. They're back, like their secondary, Renardo Green was getting picked on at times, and I feel like he's been really good this year. And Mustafa and Jair Brown weren't separating the ball in the air at the end, and they weren't stopping anyone. And they got no rush. They have no pass rush.
Geno threw them for 221. I mean, he was comfortable there in the second half, there's no doubt. But it's not like, you know, they averaged 4 yards a carry. I thought they did a good job. They did a good job on Zach Charbonnet. They did a good job on Kenneth Walker the third. He ran for 54 yards. Under 4 yards of carry. I thought the defense, for the most part, was solid. Now, DK is going to do DK things. And you have a young secondary. So Jackson Smith, the Jigba, sure. 11 yards of catch. DK gets 10 yards of catch. But I thought, for the most part, the defense turned them over. The defense was able to force them into punts. They scored 6 points in the first half, and they went to the... Again, it's about points in today's NFL, because teams are going to get yards. They're going to get yards. They had 13 points late in the fourth quarter. Now, yes, I wanted defense to get a stop, and there's a schematic where I'm now over the wide nine. I'm officially over the wide nine. That's another conversation. I'm tired of the wide nine. It allows too many gaps, too many running lanes for quarterbacks to scramble and pick up yards. And if you're not going to blitz, but and not only that, with the wide nine and your personnel, you talk about personnel. You don't have any speed rushers. We got Nick Bosa lined up out there like he's a slot wide receiver.
It's crazy.
He's a power rusher. He He's not a speed rusher. The other side, Leonard Floyd, doesn't have the same speed that he used to have. Scrap the wide nine off third downs, please. Hey, for crying out loud, scrap the wide nine off, at least on third downs.
They're playing these guys that none of us have ever heard of. Okawanu, who obviously has had some moments this year, but he did nothing in this game. Malik Collins is okay. I like Malik Collins. I think he's a rotational D tackle. Robert Beal Jr.? That's the best we got? And Leonard Floyd? Like, man, they're in trouble.
Leonard Floyd's been a disappointment. He's been a massive disappointment.
But here's the problem. Like, when you rush the four, that means you're dropping your two linebackers. It's incumbent that both of them are excellent. And right now, Fred sees some slippage as of late. I hate even admitting that because, like, Fred on my list of worries is, like, so low. But he hasn't been the same dynamic player since the ankle injury. He's just been, a step slow. And it feels like in situations with 4 minutes to go, Campbell gets picked on.
Gets picked on. Teams will tell you what your weaknesses are. But is there anybody better on this roster?
No. That's why I want to know why. Like, D. Winters has to play at some point. They've done this with the secondary where they're like, all right, you know what? Screw it. We're playing the young guys. We're just going to do it. They've been committed to playing Renardo Green, which I'm happy. And I think that he's been pretty good instead of Yadam and Raka Sim. And I think that you should do the same thing at linebacker. I need to get another speed linebacker next to him. And if the guy over pursues, then so be it. Like, I'm done with the Campbell move. Their offense is their number one problem.
The defense is not the problem. Defense was not the problem in this game. It wasn't the problem in the Tampa Bay game. Now, situational football is not being pretty. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to dispute that. But when you look at these game logs and you look at what's transpired this season, it's the offense taking a major step back. This is a team that went 30 points a game last year and was lighting up everybody and setting franchise records. You may not have a 1,000-yard receiver this year. After having four guys go for 1,000 scrimmage yards, you may not have one go for 1,000 scrimmage yards this season.
Who knows?
Seriously.
But
it's on the offense, in my opinion. Now, Juwan Jennings is close to 600 yards. He may get 1,000. I think it's been really solid. Kittle's at 560. But other than that, the explosives.
Juwan Jennings might be your Len Eshman Award winner.
No, he is winning the Len Eshman Award, as I mentioned earlier. He's going to win that award. Yeah. There's no doubt. He's the most inspirational on this team. All right, let's get to the phone calls. Mike in Santa Clara. Mike, what's happening?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Shanahan scheme for a sec, but Shasky, I think you said something a little bit earlier. Yeah, we've always been known for our front seven throughout the years, and yeah, it's just not there, man, especially now that Bosa's out now. I mean, it's just not there. Our front seven took away I'm not saying mediocre, like the mediocre play of the corners in that case.
It's true.
Because they didn't have to worry as much because we had so much pressure on the offensive line and also the quarterback. But what I wanted to get to, guys, was the Shanahan scheme in this case. It's the word I can use is predictable. And it's really just one of those things where I'm not seeing Purdy being able to call audibles as much because there's so many different transitions of each play that Shanahan has for one particular play. I only see the offensive line, which they should be doing, is actually calling audibles on the line for blitzes, etc. But I don't see it's predictable about what it's coming down to in regards to Shanahan's play. And yeah, it's been a freaking like carousel with the injuries and everything on offense of how Shanahan has to make the play calls and all that. But I just the league is obviously in this case aware of it now. So I don't know what Shanahan is doing at this point. Like, he needs to make some different – he needs to scheme something different. And by the way, I am sick and tired of these roundabout rocket kind of moves with Debo. again, predictable.
It's so predictable.
When it is predictable.
It is predictable.
But yeah. Shanahan, he's going to have to evolve this offseason. There's no doubt.
I would agree.
The passing game needs to be updated. It's like refreshing our iPhones, right? You get the status of, hey, time to refresh your iPhone. You get the old update with the old iPhone. Well, Shanahan needs to update the passing
wrinkles.
Game.
He needs new wrinkles.
And maybe he needs a new set of eyes there. But one thing I'm not doing is firing Kyle Shanahan.
No, I just want to make that clear. Yeah, I don't think that's
not firing Kyle Shanahan.
Either of our mouths. But yeah, here,
I just want to make sure about that.
Here's what I would say, though, B. Like, Ted Wynn. Is it Wynn?
Ted Wynn.
Yeah, Ted Wynn has an article that came out this morning about 4 a.m. On The Athletic. And it was talking about Kyle's offense when it comes to the passing game and the protections. Because everyone's talking about audibles at the line. And he said, look, it works a lot, but there seems to be a pattern late in games now that the book is out on him. And he shows and diagrams specific plays and specific moments. I want to make sure that I lay this out right. Where the other teams know, based on the protection being locked, that if they can send certain blitzers from certain spots, it's going to force an automatic hot route, which is going to be short of the sticks. And if you notice the Niners, they'll get the ball out. Let's say it's third and eight.
Yeah.
They'll get the ball out quick, and it's Jennings to the, you know, to the flat, and it's a 5-yard gain. He's got to break 3 or 4 tackles to like get open. And it's because teams are now keen on what some of the deficiencies are built into the offense because of the inability to kind of call things at the line. Now, it's not all the time. It still works. The offense still can get you a ton of yards, but there are key moments in the game where it'll rear its ugly head. And they showed specifically what Seattle did this time around on these third downs to kind of light up to force a hot route, to get the ball out of his hand quickly, to get it short of the sticks. And it was fascinating.
Well, Kurt,
and I think that's where those wrinkles that you're talking about might need to be baked in.
What's the guy's name, the backup quarterback who's always on
Kurt
Twitter?
Kurt Benkert.
Basically said the same thing Sunday night. It was like, I don't get why this offense hasn't adjusted. I'm telling you, cover zero blitzes get home every time he gets the 49ers in obvious passing down situations because the book is out on that. So that's another adjustment Shanahan's going to have to make, saying, all right, teams are on to this. Let me get the hots. Let me fix something here. And it may be an offseason thing. It may be too late within the season to do something like that. But I want to hear from Belichick. Belichick, he was on the Pat McAfee show this morning. Here's what Belichick had to say about the 49ers.
So many of the games in this league are so close, they come down to a play or two. And, you know, you win them one year, you don't lose them the next year, and you think the gap is an ocean, and it really isn't. It's just a handful of plays. But look, in the end, their season will be defined on what happens, you know, in the last 6 games of the season. They're close enough to be in it. They're going to have to play their best football going forward. They've kind of stumbled around here a little bit and been, you know, disappointing in themselves, I'm sure. But you look at teams like, you know, Tampa and the Giants and their Super Bowls. I mean, those teams barely got into the playoffs. They barely had a winning record and then played their best football when it really mattered. So I think the 49ers are capable of doing that, but obviously they have to do it, and they just haven't consistently done it. But they've lost some good players in the offseason now. I mean, this isn't quite the same team that they had, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago. They've got a lot of good young players, but they're still obviously putting it together here, and we'll see what happens.
Lost a lot of good players, lost a lot of good coaches.
The Brandon Ayuk injury is horrible.
Oh, it's massive.
It's horrible. And like Ricky Pearsall had a monster game last week, and I'm like, all right, let's get Ricky involved. And
2 targets.
It was as if he didn't play.
Was he just locked up?
I don't know.
I forgot to ask Baldy about that one because it felt like to me when I'm watching from my seats to the end zone seats, looked like he was just getting locked up.
By Wooten or whatever?
By whoever was out there, whether it's Wooten, whether it's Witherspoon.
You're saying he didn't look juicy. As Greg Cosell described him a couple weeks ago.
Didn't look juicy. Oh, no, man. Greg, I'm a Baldy guy. I like Greg Cosell. But he said that CMC looked like CMC. And I haven't seen CMC look like CMC at all this season. I commend the guy. I love Christian McCaffrey. Love McCaffrey. Loved him since he was at Stanford. Loved him. And I just don't know if he should be playing football right now. Now, I'm not going to – I'm always saying, hey, man, you got to – these guys are going to play if they want to play. And McCaffrey wants to play. But I don't see the burst. I don't see the juice. I don't see the wiggle. And it's understandable on why we don't see it. The guy had bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Like I'm asking all these NBA players when I'm at Warrior Games pregame master culture, can you play on bilateral? Achilles, oh, wow. Everybody's just, their face is like, he's playing with Achilles tendonitis. Whoa, whoa. And the image of Drake Greenlaw running off the sideline in the Super Bowl when he dealt with Achilles tendonitis all postseason, and he's just jogging out to the field to play defense. Snap. Gone. I mean, can you work in Mason and Garrido for crying out loud? Please.
I mean, you ran for 230 yards against Seattle last time with those two guys.
No.
And Mason got hurt with the shoulder injury in that game. So I'm with you. Here's the thing. No one is saying you can't use CMC, Shanahan. We're saying you also have other running backs that can help you out a little. That's all. That's all we're saying, yeah, is just mix it up just a little bit.
All right. We got more calls here coming up.
Or
here.
We'll use them,
everybody.
I don't know. In the backfield at the same time, considering CMC's a great route runner.
Give me Garrido in space with all that speed.
I would love that. When was the last time they ran a screen that wasn't a Debo tunnel screen at the end of a half?
Things are looking outdated with this 49ers offense. 888-957-9570. Do you agree? We have some Baldy Sound Oreo cookie. I see you. What is it? Fedecino? What's his name?
Fidencio.
And Rodeo. Fidencio. We're going to get to you on the other side. No, that doesn't count. Names don't count. We don't know. Fidencio. We'll get to everybody coming up. I see the lines lighting up here. That's all coming up on the Morning Rose, brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Nation is Buddy Hill. Listen to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those drapes, Bonte.
I got you, Buddy. You know what I found out about Buddy?
What's that?
He loves candy. He loves candy.
Like Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, like Justin Joe Jefferson. Shasky? Oh, you're a candy guy?
Well, like Marshawn Lynch.
When I stopped drinking and doing extracurriculars, I cross-addicted over into the chocolate sugar side. And, yeah, I love coffee. I love sugar.
There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'm not going to do it.
I'm just going to say that.
I'm talking about the boogers.
No, he said he liked chocolate.
I thought I was talking about the sugar.
Oh.
Well, you know, nothing wrong
with it. What kind of chocolate? You're the Hershey's guy?
Dark chocolate. I like dark.
Okay. You like the bitter.
Okay. Yeah, I like dark chocolate.
All right.
Dark chocolate, milk chocolate.
Sam does as well.
White chocolate.
But I do. I love ice cream.
Somebody's going to get in trouble.
I've always loved ice cream. I'm not a cake or cupcake kind of a guy. Like, I'll eat the frosting. You know, I'll have a couple bites, but like, I've never been a big cake guy.
You can't have the chocolate without the cake. Come on.
No, I know. Like a little, but I need a little bit of ice cream.
What's Padone say? Can't have the chocolate without the cake.
We're having a layered conversation.
You guys are like the horniest guys in America.
We're having a Thanksgiving potluck here today, gentlemen. Did you guys bring anything, by the way?
No, because it starts at 12 o'clock.
Yeah,
it starts at 12 o'clock. Clippers game was at 7:30 last night. I didn't get home. I didn't go to bed till midnight.
Did you place your turkey order yet?
No. I don't know what I'm doing this year, but
this shouldn't be funny, man. I'm delusional right now, man. I'm sleep deprived. You got to laugh it off.
Well, then let me carry you. So
no, you don't need to carry me. I'm fine. I don't think you can carry my fat ass. But listen, I was gonna get in on the turkey stuff.
Get in on the turkey. It's Thanksgiving time.
Did you bring anything for the potluck?
I'm not staying for the potluck.
What about you, Lubbin? Did you bring anything?
Honestly, I forgot it was today. I didn't even know today was the 19th until I walked in.
Admit, though, you'll stay for the potluck and build a giant.
If I'm still here when the potluck happens, then something terrible will have happened.
No, Lubbin's here till 12:30 every day. He will be here for the potluck.
I am leaving at 11:50 on the dot.
Yeah, right.
Five minutes before the potluck.
Yeah, that is
right. With the plate.
So, like the duality of Thanksgiving for me is a fun time, because not only are you feeding others, you got to make sure that you have enough for yourself. The last couple of years we've done it up the river and we've had this huge feast, and then we end up giving a bunch of food out, and I look into the fridge, I'm like, "Hun, there's not enough for me. What about me? Well, where's my leftovers?" Cuz I love the leftovers Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I can eat turkey all year long.
I thought it was the season of giving.
Well, yeah, giving myself some more leftovers. Oh, wow. What are we talking about?
Sounds like a selfish.
Is there anything worse than you know, you prepare the big meal and everyone gets a plate to bring home, and you look back into the fridge and there's not enough for you? Well, that sucks.
Well, no.
This
is
what
you
got to
do. This is where you messed up. This is where you messed up, and I'll school you on this. When the food first comes out,
Don't say what I think you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say, earmark a bunch for yourself, put it to the side.
Absolutely. You put the plate, Tupperware, you do it on the side, you just put it away. Put it away, nobody sees it. And then you go get yourself a plate.
I don't know if you are aware of this, but when you're hosting a giant Thanksgiving meal, the fridge is already stuffed to the gills.
Oh, we've hosted Thanksgiving a couple times.
Yeah, like there's no room for my separate spots to hang stuff.
There's always some room. There's always some rearranging you can do, trust me.
So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to order my own turkey for me and the baby and my own sides and whatnot.
Not even
Michelle?
We're
going to have a separate thing.
Not even Michelle?
Michelle doesn't really eat turkey.
Damn.
She's a pescatarian.
Damn.
I don't know, Joe.
Damn, see, you got to put the food on the side. And look, we've hosted, I think we might be hosting Thanksgiving this year. I have no idea.
Yeah, you better order your turkey now.
You better buy a little turkey outfit for LJ. He'd look cute in that.
Oh, my
Michelle,
God. You guys do the turkey?
That.
Don't do the turkey
outfit. Yeah, I don't
outfit.
Think
don't
we
dress
do.
Up for turkey.
His birthday
or put
Saturday.
Him in a little
football outfit. That's what you do. Yeah,
no,
come
you
on.
Don't do
many
that. Are. You don't need to do that. That corny stuff. Don't do, because they already know what happens. People dress their kids up. It's turkeys. A little, they put it on Instagram and they want to get the likes and the clout.
Well, yes.
No, stop.
Look at how cute my kid is. This is the society we're in, gentlemen. Look,
no,
look how cute.
No.
As a current Instagram dad who photos his son, I have like 5,000 photos of my son. I get it. Like,
but you also do it on Twitter, which is Spinoza and I were talking about this. Twitter's a no-go zone for me because there's a lot of
lunatics. Well, it's a cesspool now. Yeah,
I don't care. I just mute and block. I'm like the Kenbe on there.
I don't want people on Twitter to know who my family is. Now,
no,
if they want to find
that.
Out,
I get
it's on Instagram.
I'm just proud of my little guy. But no, the other thing is that I look back at the Niners. I want to get right back into the Niners. It's hard for me to not view this team and say, damn, it looks like they've been through so many wars and it finally caught up to them. And I'm not saying that the season's over. I'm not saying that their run is over or anything. It just looks like a team that's got a lot of tread on the tire. They just do.
You know what, though? Philadelphia's played a lot of football.
Of course.
Kansas City's played a lot of football.
Oh.
Buffalo's played a lot of football.
I'm not saying it's
Baltimore,
excuse.
Baltimore's played a lot of football.
I'm just telling you that's what they look like.
Like, yeah, I they do look. They just look like they're injured. They look like they're injured. And look, when you blow games that you do early in the season, it catches up to you.
Yeah.
The Rams game, you knew. This is going to bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
Arizona, boy, this one is going to bite you in the ass. Kansas City lost, okay, fine. Whatever. But that's going to bite you in the ass when you lose in Minnesota and you lose in the fashion that you did on Sunday. Let's go to the lines here, man. Oreo Cookie in Oakland, start us off, and then we'll get to everybody here on the lines. Oreo Cookie, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Morning.
I just want everybody to come to the realization that, you know what, Purdy might not be our guy. Don't get me wrong, we're rooting for him because he's quarterbacking our team, so we want him to do good. His contract is coming up next year. He is not a $60 million a year player. He cannot throw the nine route. Teams are not fearing that route. How come we don't throw it up? It's probably because he can't complete the pass. It must be something in practice that Kyle sees, and he's like, heck no, I ain't doing that. But all I'm saying is Purdy might not be the guy. We might have to come to realization with that. And having said that, hypothetically, if our year goes wrong, who's the next crop of quarterbacks that are going to become available for us in free agency?
Let me ask you this one. Like, there's like, and I know that there's this Jed York, like, he's going to reset the market. Well, a year has happened, and like real estate, like the stock market, things are up and down. And I would say that right now, if we were going arrow up, arrow down, the arrow's a little down on Brock Purdy, a little. That's being, you know, critical. I believe for a lot of people it's still stagnant. What if he signs for 40? Like, is he still your guy at $40 million? I think for a lot of people he would be,
Oreo
right?
Cookie, is he your guy at $40 million?
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah, 40 sounds good. 30 sounds good. We got to remember, man, he's making less than $1 million. So
no doubt.
Anything over 20 is great for him. But what I'm saying is, yeah, he's definitely not a max guy. He cannot throw the nine route. I'm thinking about, man, let's get somebody like Danny Dimes up in here, man.
Oh,
I know you got a good one.
Oh, Oreo,
I love you
Oreo
lost Cookie,
me.
But Danny Dimes?
You had me until you said
the broke Alex Smith?
You want Daniel Jones, a quarterback here.
When does that crack come into play?
Hey, man. Oreo Cookie,
so
I love you.
Cocaine's happening.
I love you, Oreo Cookie. I do. Daniel Jones just got benched, and he's a third stringer now. He's cooked. He's done. Like, he doesn't see it. And you know who had it before the draft? I saw this clip that posted on the internet over the weekend. Todd McShay. in the pre-draft process was talking about Daniel Jones and they're showing to Duke Hiley. He goes, look, guys, this guy's just not it. He doesn't see it. He doesn't anticipate. He does none of these good things. I just don't think he's a good quarterback. And next thing you know, it played out to fruition. Todd McShay was actually right about something. More right than Mel Kiper Jr. What did Mel Kiper Jr. say? No, I only did it because I knew you talked to Spinotti down the line.
Well, Mel Kiper is still hanging on to Jimmy Clausen being something. Yeah, so.
Right. He said he would, what did he say, he'll fire himself if Jimmy Clausen wasn't
stop,
an all-pro?
He'll stop being an analyst if Jimmy Clausen does not turn into an all-pro quarterback.
That's the move in sports radio. I'll stop doing X, Y, and Z if team does this.
You know, if this team loses, I'm calling it six, Spinotti.
Speaking of eating at Thanksgiving time, you know he eats pumpkin pie year-round? Every day.
Every slice. A slice every morning.
What a weirdo. What a damn weirdo, man. That is just whatever. I don't care about quirks.
B, I can't argue with you.
We all have quirks. We all have quirks. That's a weird one. What is it? Rodan, what's his name again?
Fidencio.
Fidencio.
He's called him before. I think I have a drop from him because we think it's Italian, and then he said this.
I'm actually Mexican.
So there you go.
Fidencio. Fidencio, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're actually Mexican,
hey,
right?
Bro. Yeah. Buenos dias, amigos.
¿Cómo estás, amigo?
Hey, anybody that says that Purdy is the problem, they're probably Raider fans. That's the problem with it. But anyways, I was going to disagree with Vontae about the defense. Our defense is one word, garbage. Great garbage. how do you go a whole game with only blitzing once? And maybe that last blitz towards the end of the last drive, you blitzed two times in the whole game. How do you explain that to me, Vontae? How do you say this guy's not a problem?
What about the offense? I didn't say the defense wasn't a problem, but they held them to 13 points. Seattle went 80 yards for 11 plays. I get it. They were stuck on 13 points. The defense did what they had to do. They turned them over. The offense doesn't take advantage of it. They don't score. And you put the ball in Purdy's hands and Kyle Shanahan's head to ice the game. I was in the car by the time, and I'm hearing the voice of the Niners, Greg Papa, say, well, this game is over. Just get a couple first downs. It's over. The offense failed us again. It's all the offense. That's where the money's at, Fidencio.
Yeah, the offense and all the way. Well, the way I looked at it, because our family watches the game together like a Butcher Boy, and we get emotional. We get into the game, and we're like, oh, man. I've never been so disappointed in our coaching staff, period, all the way across the board.
Yeah, we all go to the games and be disappointed. My daughter's defense. We're all at the games.
Well, let's have
check your emotions sometimes. You can't be so emotional. You got to let it play out sometimes.
I don't think it's either or. Yes, the offense is not as good as the defense, right? But simultaneously, I don't think you can even be remotely a good defense if you wilt in all the big moments at the end of games. Let's just go through the schedule right now. Viking game. Did they wilt?
Oh, they did. Okay. They will. Six-minute drive at the end of the game. Yeah, they kick a field goal, 23-14, game over.
Okay, then against the Rams.
Against the Rams, a deep route to Tutu Atwell. Boom. Arizona, they ran the ball right down your throat.
Okay,
Arizona. Right down your throat.
What about the Patriots? I thought that the both sides were
They held them 13 points.
All right, so I'll give them a pass. What about the Seahawks second half up in Seattle?
You knew things were going to get hairy, but you held them to 17 points. And, well, they end up scoring another touchdown, garbage time touchdown.
I thought it got a little hairy.
But I thought the defense played well. They picked off Geno twice. That was one of their better games.
So then I'll back off that one. Chiefs game.
Chiefs had 14 points defense in the fourth quarter, but they were just on the field all day.
Okay, but that's
No. What? No, their defense played well against Kansas City. Give them credit for Kansas City. They played well against Kansas City. They played well against Kansas City. That offense and Brock Purdy stunk that day against Kansas City. He threw the pick on Ronnie Bell. They were going to take the lead late third quarter. I'm sorry.
Okay, what about against the Cowboys?
They smoked the Cowboys.
It ended up being a 6-point game.
They smoked the Cowboys. These games are close, as Bill Belichick just said.
Dak had the ball in his hands with an opportunity.
And what happened? The defense four straight completions.
Okay.
The defense stepped up.
The common theme is that, yes, the offense has been bad all year. Simultaneously.
This season's on the offense.
No, I'm not.
This is all on the offense. I'm sorry.
I think both aren't good. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that, yes, the offense probably is a bigger slice of the pie, but I also don't think that the defense is good. I just think that they're thoroughly mediocre.
They're okay. The defense is okay. Just okay. And I'm being kind here. But I'm looking at the offense, and I'm looking at the playmakers, and I'm looking at the lack of explosives, and I'm looking at the offensive line. This team last year was led by the offense. We all came into the season saying the offense is going to have to carry the defense. Now, the defense wilted in some of these games, but you want to bring up Dallas. They held them down. Yeah, it got hairy at the end of the game, but the offense shut down. I mean, the offense hasn't put together four quarters. This entire football team hasn't put together four quarters yet. So they're all culpable, but when I look at the big money players, it's mostly on the offensive side of the football. And the head coach is an offensive guy. And the quarterback is this guy who the owners say, we're going to reset the quarterback market with. He's still going to get $40 million? Damn, $40 million a year? Wow. Can you just fret? I mean, whoa. This is on them. You score 17 against Seattle. You don't convert in the red zone. Your red zone offense is one of the worst in the league. This season's all on the offense, in my opinion. Now, the defense has not been good at times. But this, to me, is on the offense, man.
Yeah, I don't think it's either or for me. I think it's, yes, the offense is a bigger slice of the pie, but the right. Both sides of the ball have left a lot to be desired.
Let me ask you this. Your pie chart of culpability. Because the defense, how about this defense? And nobody's going to care about this. And it's really fascinating because I was looking at this yesterday. I was like, wow, I thought they were a lot worse. They're sixth in the league in terms of yards given up a game. Philadelphia's number one, 273. Tennessee's 278. Denver's 289. Houston's 297. Kansas City's 297. The Niners are right behind these teams at giving up just 300 yards a game. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, but I think I look at our offense and I go, they're second in the league in yards and they don't score.
They don't score.
So, like, the yards thing, and I know Belichick's talked about this for years, and he's like, I don't care how many yards we give
up. It's points.
Bend, don't break.
It's points.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't know, like, to me, B, and I know we disagree, but Vikings, Rams, Arizona, Bucks, Seahawks, all those games you had fourth quarter defensive lapses.
Right.
And to me, you cannot be a good defense if in 5 of the 10 games you have just, like, basically got sprinted on at the end of the game.
Part of that too, though, is the offense not finishing drives.
No doubt. The complementary factor of playing both sides of the ball has definitely hurt the defense in the long run.
And honestly, they were lucky to be down by a score in the Kansas City game at the half when you consider the Niners offense didn't have a first down until like 5 minutes left in the second quarter.
I didn't even have that game on here, but yeah, like that's... You know, that I don't deny
right,
that.
Right.
The offense has been putrid, considering how much you've paid.
To me, this is all on Shanahan and the offense. It's all on them. Them not scoring touchdowns and settling for three. Like, even in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, for crying out loud. Niners should have blew that game away. Offense is shooting themselves in the foot. Moody's missing three field goals. And give the defense credit for at least that game. They could have gave up the touchdown there. Game would have been over. Got to the red zone, Tampa Bay did, and the defense held them down to a field goal to keep the game tied. That was impressive to me. And then you hold Seattle to 20, you should be able to win that football game. You hold a team in today's modern NFL with all those playmakers, you hold them to 20 points, that should be good enough to win a damn football game. This, to me, is all on the offense. It's all on the offense. I'm sorry. And I get the last 2 minutes, things are going to happen, and that's a schematic thing, and they're second in the league, I think, in terms of points given up in the last 2 minutes of a fourth quarter,
I mean,
which is bad. Now, some of that is garbage time, but give the Rams credit, give the Cardinals credit, give the Seahawks credit. Nick Sorensen, you heard Baldy on the cut. Coach Yak already jacked us on Twitter about the quote. What he said about Nick Sorensen? What he said? Opposed to Steve Spagnuolo and some of these other teams in the league that are good blitzing teams, they just don't know how to get a free hit on the quarterback. So... there's a lot of problems here, but when I look at your pie chart of culpability, The slice of pie, offense is getting 70% of the pie, defense is getting 30%.
70, I would say it's like, see, to me it's probably closer 60-40, but we're splitting hairs here, right?
We're splitting hairs.
I would just say this, like totality-wise, one of the highest paid players on the team is Nick Bosa. He's been meh. Right?
Ugh.
One of the highest paid players on defense, the second highest paid player, Javon Hargrave, hasn't played for weeks now. The third highest paid player, Fred Warner, hasn't been the same since the ankle injury. And I don't know if there's an all-pro player or Pro Bowl player on defense right now.
No, I don't think so.
And I think early on in the season, I was like, wow, this is a great Fred Warner year. Like the last couple weeks, like he just hasn't looked the same. And I love Fred Warner. I'm not trying to isolate him. He's like the least of the problems. But if you don't even have one Pro Bowl guy on defense, like, then your defense cannot be good.
Forget the Pro Bowl, just all pro. Can I get an all pro? Can I get a guy who's going to, because the Pro Bowl, we know it's a popularity contest, and people are going to get it based on their reputation. Like, Nick Bosa is probably going to make a Pro Bowl based on his name.
I don't know. He might not get enough games.
Well, you know, people vote on it. Fans vote. And fans like Nick Bosa. for more reasons than one. So that's where we're at with that one. It's a popularity contest.
Like, D'Amino Lenore was playing really good football weeks on end. I didn't think he had a great game this last game. You know, Kenneth Walker threw him to the ground on multiple occasions. Kenneth Walker, the numbers aren't going to show you that Kenneth Walker had a good game. I thought Kenneth Walker had a really good game. He broke a ton of tackles.
He was okay. 9 penalties, 54 yards. How many offensive penalties? A lot, right? It's just offense. Let's go to Mike and Hayward. Mike, what's happening?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
I think a lot of the problems that the 49ers are having are coaching. I think Shanahan kind of screwed up at the beginning of the year when he had two players hold out. That's something that the head coach should be well aware of before the season starts. It's obvious to me that the NFL is against San Francisco. Like you said, 9 penalties, 54 yards. That's been going on all year. You know, every time they get a drive going. And if it wasn't for Juwan Jennings, they never would have made that touchdown late in the game, you know, that put them ahead. Yeah, I think a lot of it just lies on the coaching, offense and defense.
Can we explore something? You think that the NFL is against the 49ers? Really? You really believe that?
Absolutely. Look at the phantom calls that they've been making. When the Niners do good and they win championships, they don't get phantom calls.
Wait, keep explaining. I want to hear more, Mike.
Okay, when Dallas won all the NFL championships, they got away with holding almost every play.
We're talking about the 90s, right?
Like every time. Right, the 90s. And then when the Niners were winning championships, the Niners were getting away with holding. But now I think when they didn't disclose McCaffrey's injury, it made the NFL mad.
Which one? The one in Philadelphia?
Well, no, at the beginning of the year when McCaffrey missed the first seven games and they didn't tell anybody that he was hurt.
So the NFL's not happy because of gambling repercussions and all that stuff, and the Niners playing coy about the injury. So the NFL said, hey, you're not following the rules. We're going to make you pay for it. You think that's what's happening, Mike?
Absolutely. And it's not just the gambling aspect. It's the fantasy football.
That was a doozy, man. That was one.
It's not Fentanyl Friday, but boy, it sure felt like it.
Damn.
Oh, did I get fooled on that?
Damn.
Did you see who's the new Yankee?
Dave Sims.
Yeah.
He's leaving Seattle, going to New York.
A WFAN frequent caller called that move like months ago.
Yeah, really?
When John Sterling initially stepped down, he said, I'm hearing it's going to be Dave Sims. His name is Dr. Joe.
Dr. Joe.
That's pretty good. I mean, conspiracy theories now. Not disclosing injuries. People pissed off at fantasy football. I've been waiting for that.
I was like, where is he going with this whole, like, the Niners, the league doesn't want the Niners. Actually, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say the league loves when the Niners are good because they represent a huge television audience. And if you look at all of the big NFC on Fox or whatever, any of the different channels, like, the Niners are one of the bigger draws in the league.
Big ratings.
And also, the way the NFL set up, I don't think they care who wins.
Because they're
printing money no matter what.
You see what they're doing Christmas. They said, NBA, you're playing games on Christmas?
Yeah, we're coming for Christmas. And we're going to throw it on Netflix so that you can't change the channel to the NBA.
We're bringing Beyonce in to do the halftime show.
Bro.
Is Jay-Z going to be there?
I don't know.
Brett in Walnut Creek. Brett, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, good morning, guys. Remember last week I called in and I criticized the caller because he said we had an embarrassing win, and my God, how good would an embarrassing win would look right now?
So good.
the thing I've noticed with the 49ers this year, really more so than anything, guys, is the lack of creativity in our offensive play calling. Shanahan is a master. I mean, you know these guys. Remember, we'd come out, we'd have a script, bang, 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 down the field, 7-0 Niners. Brock steps three steps back. You know when he releases the ball, someone's going to be 10 yards wide open. We're running jet sweeps. We're running quick slants. We're running swing passes to the running back. No offensive creativity, which then lends ourselves to not being able to produce in the red zone. And then on defense, again, obviously everyone's been injured. And I know you guys had a stat earlier about how, you know, we're at the top of the league in yards given up. I think what's really happened is because we run a four-man line and we're thin with our reserves, that by the time we get to the fourth quarter, if it's a close game, and I know you guys have noticed this, our guys are gassed. They are gassed. They are so tired and spent because we've been rushing four constantly. Mm-hmm. We can't rotate like we did before because we had depth. And then when you get an injury, so now not only do you not have depth and you don't have a talent, you're tired. And so that's why what's happening in the fourth quarter, when we should be, and again, as you mentioned, guys, up by two scores, up by three scores, we're up by three, we're up by six, we're up by four, and we're hoping that we can make a play, and we're just too tired and we can't. And it just seems like, and again, as you guys also mentioned, when you lose a couple that you should win, you're now behind the eight ball, and just now you're looking uphill and you're playing a little hope. But let's see a little creativity on offense a little bit, guys. I just haven't seen it. What about you guys think?
Yeah, it hasn't been creative whatsoever. It's been stale. Baldy mentioned it as well. Here's what Baldy had to say about the 49ers offense. Yep, here it is.
They had one explosive play on offense. They can't get the ball down the field. And, you know, it's always been a hallmark of any coach team by Kyle is they're going to get explosive plays. And you can literally, there's a million stats out there. But you got to track explosive plays in this game. They change the game. And they change field position, and they give you the jolt of electricity you need. They couldn't get the ball down the field. I mean, they had one play last week by Jennings of 22 yards, and that was thrown before 20. He just got some yards after the catch. But they can't get any explosive plays in the run game or the pass game. And they still look slow. They look, and then when it really showed up was with Geno's touchdown run at the end. Like, where is everybody?
Where is everybody?
But in terms of the creativity, wasn't the touchdown pass to Juwan Jennings a clever little play in the red zone?
Play action pass, not bad.
You didn't think it was that?
It's cool.
Greg Olsen was really excited over it. Yeah, that's what I'm just asking.
It was fine. You see a couple creative plays every now and then.
So, but when people say that, what are they looking for? Like, what exactly are we
I think they want more deep shots. I think they want more trick plays. I think they want more reverses. They want to see bunch formations. They want to see more exotic formations. You know, their five wide concepts just look so stale, and it looks so slow. And so when they think creativity, they want juice. They want all those things, man. Play action passes with some deep shots. You know, some post corner routes. Give me some out routes. Give me some out and ups. You know, give me some middle screens. Give me some tight end screens. Give me some running back screens. Give me more exotic wide receiver screens. They want all this stuff. They see what Detroit's doing. And they see what Buffalo's doing, and they see Baltimore, and they see the Commanders, and they say, damn, we want that.
One thing that we don't do that other teams have done against us is the stack and bunch formations.
What did you say? Yeah,
and bunch. And like the stack one in particular, what people have been doing is they go like trips or three wide receivers to the right, let's say. They stack two of the wide receivers, and then they
always motion over.
Yeah, and then they get the motion. Guy in motion, and so they get you have out this of huge trip. Soup. Right. And I'm telling you, the guy, the OC for Seattle ran that play a couple of times, and they got wide open. They got a tunnel screen one time. They got a quick little out. They got a quick up, out and up on that. I don't know. Those are man beaters that I feel like teams are running against our secondary. They're running a lot of pick plays. Yeah. We don't run a lot of pick plays.
Yeah, we don't do that. That's what they mean by creativity. And a bunch, and I noticed this in the Minnesota game, the Rams game as well. When I was looking at the red zone stuff and breaking down, why are they so predictable in the red zone? Well, they will line up in bunch trips and just motion out of it. And they'll motion with Kyle Juszczyk when everybody knows, okay, Kyle Juszczyk is motioning to become the lead blocker on that side.
Or a check down.
Right. Jerry Rice joined us yesterday. You missed it. He goes, I knew exactly when Debo motioned what route he was running. I knew that from the stands. This is Jerry Rice. He knew exactly what route he was running. Well, okay, here comes a little drag. Okay, here's a little. And Debo, God bless his soul. What do you have, four touches, 22 yards?
Well, one area that's kind of frustrated me is that I believe that they've gotten a little too juice heavy the last couple of months, and I think they need to pivot off that. I think they need to become – you need to play your best, whatever those guys are, your best 11 more often than not. And I think Juice is a very functional player, but when you have Juice and Sobert out there for long stretches, that's not – no, you're not – no one's fearing that.
Everybody was high on Sobert coming out of training camp.